Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks again for hanging out with me this week. I really, really appreciate you guys. But as you already know, before I start every single podcast, I always like to take a few moments and give God some thanks because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is encouraged, inspired, and empowered to not only learn more and do more, but also become more, and that you'll be able to grab one of these nuggets that we're going to be dropping today with my special guest and apply them to your lives. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Thanks again, guys, for hanging out. Listen, guys, I have a very, 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 very special guest with me on the line today. And this individual, he's actually not even from the United States. He's from the UK, but the guy is making waves all over the world, doing some big things. And listen, guys, I have none other than my friend, my good buddy, Winston Ben Clements. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, brother. Such an incredible honor to be here with you tonight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. And you guys can notice he said tonight. That's because he's in England time, right? Which, what time is it over there?
It's 8 p.m.
8 p.m. over there, and yep. We're over here 3 p.m. East Coast time here in the United States. So that's why he said good evening or good night, just so you guys know that we're telling the truth, man. But listen, I want to jump right into it, Winston, because you have an amazing story. I know we connected on social media, and I've been kind of following your journey for a little while, and I know a little bit about your story. But for those of us that are listening and also watching, you know, let us know. I know you're doing some great things now, but let us know a little bit about when things may have not been so great for you and, you know, what you've gone through and some of the struggles and challenges and adversities that you've had to endure and persevere through. Just let them know what that was like and a little bit about your background story.
Yeah, sure. And again, thank you so much for this. So I guess in terms of background, I'm going to take you guys all the way back to the beginning. So I was born with a condition known as brittle bone disorder, which might be familiar to some of the listeners. But for anyone who hasn't heard of it, it's basically what it says on the tin, right? So I had these bones that would break super easily. I think even on the day I was born, I already had like a bunch of fractures. So really painful, really unpleasant. And I think we worked it out that by the age of 12, I'd broken over 150 bones. So
that's
a lot. I mean, you know, just to kind of like put it in context, maybe an athlete or someone who does a lot of, I guess, physical type of activity would probably break one or two in their lifetime, right? So, you know, to break 150 in 12 years was, it's pretty rough. But I think as well, you know, in terms of, and of course there are many conditions out there which are super painful and, you know, super difficult to deal with. I think maybe what made mine a challenge was, you know, when you have a broken bone, if you break a leg or an arm, it basically takes away your ability to do stuff for yourself. So with a broken leg, you're not going anywhere. With a broken arm, you know, you can't feed yourself, you can't wash yourself. So it's not only the physical pain, but it's actually the elimination of your independence as well. So it was doubly difficult. And then you can imagine, you know, I'm sure there might be parents or young people listening to this. So that was happening to me as a young person. And so like any other kid, I wanted to be up there. I wanted to be in the playground. I wanted to be playing. I wanted to be enjoying my youth, right? But you can't do that when, you know, you're laid up in bed trying to recover from surgeries and broken bones and stuff like that. But like some of the things that I guess we can dive into some of it in more detail, but some of the highlights preceding that was I managed to get into school. Eventually, I actually had a great time at school. Initially, I was thinking, ooh, this is going to be rough because I'm so different. You know, I'm much smaller, much more fragile than everybody else. How am I going to be able to participate, right?
Yeah.
But actually school turned out to be a great time. I was able to reframe that whole experience. And then sort of carrying on into university, which I think you guys call college. So I studied IT, computer science. So I was the I was a programmer. I was like the office geek, right? And so I enjoyed that. I did that career for almost 10 years until I reached a point in my career where I actually had a lot of personal stuff going on at home. My mom got diagnosed with a serious illness. I had a couple of other things happening at the same time. So it was like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us go through these moments in life when, you know, everything seems like it's pouring on you. But the gift that came out of that for me was it gave me an opportunity, maybe for the first time, to take a step back and reevaluate what I was doing with my life. And actually from then I realized that I don't want to be stuck in a corporate 9-to-5. I want to be out there helping people, using my story, which I no longer see as a burden, but I actually see it as a blessing. So, you know, now that I get to, you know, be on incredible platforms like these, you know, sharing with your audience, Jose, and also get to travel the world and speak to people and meet people and impact even one or two people, that's been a lot more fulfilling than anything else I've ever achieved corporately. So hopefully that's a good overview, but we can dive into stuff as we go along.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great story, man. But so with that condition, does it? Because I saw your pictures, and I know that you're in a wheelchair. Were you always in a wheelchair?
Yeah, I was pretty much. Yeah, because of the nature of the condition, so the bones are not strong enough to support weight. So I wouldn't be able to stand up in my own strength. So from a young age, actually, initially, so you know those strollers that you get, we call them prams, but like a baby stroller.
Yeah.
Because I'm so small, I ended up like being in my baby stroller for a long, long time. I think I was using a stroller till I was about like 7 or 8, just because of my size, and it kind of worked out. And then from then, I guess I got my first wheelchair. And even in primary school, I would have like my friends pushing me around in my wheelchair, and we'd kind of be going off on these adventures and stuff. So the wheelchair has always been a part of my mobility. Yeah.
Now has that condition affected your growth of the normal growth of your body also?
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a bone developmental condition. So anything that's to do with bone development is impacted by brittle bone disorder. So that's strength, which is obviously the main one because the bones break really easily. But also growth and even what else? I guess you have deformities on certain parts of your body and that kind of thing, just because the bones don't grow correctly.
Yeah. Now, you know, being someone that also, you know, is in a wheelchair now, I wasn't always in a wheelchair. I didn't end up in a wheelchair until I was 22 years old. But right. Being someone who is in a wheelchair, you know, I can relate to some of the things that you probably had to go through as well.
Right.
Tell us how you felt, you know, when you were younger, because I'm pretty sure you've had to deal with some form of insecurity, some form of limiting beliefs, right? About because of your condition. How did you get over that? Like, how were you able to turn your mindset from one of limiting belief to the one that you have now that is like, I'm unlimited and I can do anything?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, to be totally frank with you, Jose, and your audience, I feel like limiting beliefs, they never fully go away. They require continuous work. Because I think one of the biggest dangers is to think that you're over limiting beliefs, because that's when they come back and bite you 10 times harder. But kind of to take you back a little bit. So in my when I was younger, and going through like all these physical traumas, you know, surgeries, not being able to play, you know, etc. I think my biggest limiting belief in that moment was, am I ever going to be able to have a normal life experience, whatever normal means, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, because you grow up, you're around people, you watch media, you see things on TV. And, you know, even from a young age, you know that people are supposed to grow up, are supposed to go to college, are supposed to buy a house, get married, have kids. This is what we're expected to do. But when you're laid up in bed, unable to even lift a cup to your mouth to feed yourself, marriage in that moment feels like long way away. So I think my biggest struggle was, knowing that I wanted all of these, I wanted to have a normal life. In fact, I wanted to have a better than normal life. I wanted to be really successful so that I could be in a position to help my family and support people who supported me. But it was that gap between where I was and where I wanted to be. So there was a huge chasm that I needed to work on. And some of the things that I poured into that bucket were, first of all, fortunate to have like the best family ever. I know everybody says that, but mine have been incredible. And they've been incredible partly because they haven't taken it easy on me. And I'm sure you probably have similar experiences, Jose. So my family had, standard expectations of me. It was never, oh no, our Winston, he needs protection, or he needs to be held back, or, he shouldn't go to school, he shouldn't take risks, or any of that kind of thinking. If anything, they pushed me the hardest. In fact, I feel like they pushed me harder than my two other siblings, who are perfectly able-bodied. So a good example is like the school situation, which I mentioned earlier. In that moment, like my parents could have just chosen to take me to a special school where I'd be protected, where, I wouldn't have to get involved with able-bodied kids who might injure me or that kind of thing. But they chose to send me to just that regular school and trust that I would figure things out for myself, right? And I feel like that's maybe a relatable lesson for anyone listening to this, in the sense of, yes, I mean, stepping out of your comfort zone, because there is no such thing as a special workplace or like a special relationship or a special way to buy a house. The world is the world. So the sooner you get used to stepping out of that comfort zone, the more you can build up that resilience, so that when you have to face these real life situations, you're actually more equipped. And I think it really works on your mindset, because you're no longer feeling like you're entitled to anything. You're prepared to go to work 10 times harder to give 120%, where other people might only need to give 100% in order to get to where you want to get to.
Now, was that something that happened quickly for you, or was that something that took you a period of time for you to be able to develop that mindset?
I think it took a long time, and I feel like it's still ongoing, right? Because I feel like I said earlier, limiting beliefs come and go. I feel like maybe what changes, what alters things is what you're going for in that moment, right? So initially, I guess my goal was just to go to school or to complete college, right? Whereas today, my goal is to impact 1 billion people and inspire them to overcome their limitations. So, it's different goals that maybe bring out a different, uphold you to a different standard. And that's where the limiting belief might come from, because yes, today, have I got enough mental strength to, go back to college and get another degree? Yeah, piece of cake. But, impacting 1 billion people is a completely different challenge, right? So I need to continue to work on that in order to grow and embrace that growth mindset, step forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it, man. I love it. Now, let me ask you this question, because obviously being in your situation, my situation, mm-hmm. there were plenty of times where when we were younger, where we were fearful right. of what people would think about us, what people would say about us, all that type of stuff. And I've interviewed you and one other person that's been in a wheelchair also. And I love having these conversations because we can relate. We relate to each other because we have similar struggles, even though they're not the same exact condition or same exact struggle. Mm-hmm. It's the struggle of living life in a wheelchair, right? And I think people don't really understand, they'll see someone like you or me or, some mm-hmm. other people that'll show up for life and they, we're smiling, we're joking, we have great personalities, right. but they don't see what we really have to go through mm-hmm. just in the morning just to get out of the house and for you to be able to see that smile, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like a whole process that we have to go through. If you're okay with it, you know, share with some of the listeners, because the reason I started this podcast, man, was because one, I wanted to add tremendous value, but I also want to give people, you know, different perspectives on different lifestyles, different people who have challenges. And then of those same people that have gone through those challenges, but they're winning in life today. And whatever that winning may look like, because winning may look like different things for different people. But in me, in my eyes, when I see you, Winston, and I see somebody like you and what you have to, you know, conquer and overcome, you're winning, man, because you're still here, you're still alive, and you're still smiling, and you're still, you know, inspiring and impacting lives. There's able-bodied people that don't have any physical limitation, any physical problems, and they're miserable, right? They think that their world is over, their world is ending. So tell us a little bit about the process that you have to go through, if you don't mind being transparent. And tell us a little bit about the process that you have to go through just to get out of bed and get out the house every single day.
It's a good point. And I often get asked, I guess you could call them practical type of questions. Whenever I give a talk, the audience, I give a good talk about a topic, but the audience just want to know, you know, how do I drive a car, for example? So it's a good point that you bring up.
Or how do you go to the bathroom or take a shower? Yeah.
I got asked the other day if I can have kids, and I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I can. So I guess a typical how my day starts. So I sleep in like a fairly normal like bed arrangement. So I guess maybe start from the previous night. So on the previous night when I go to bed, so my bed is on the same level as my wheelchair, so that it allows me to shuffle across unaided, right? So as soon as I've shuffled across, I can get into the bed and I'm good. In the morning, same process again, shuffle back onto my chair. I have I wouldn't call it a specialized bathroom or something like that, but all I have is, this is very technical, guys, it's like a board that sits on top of my bathtub. And so what I do is I, again, shuffle onto that board, and I can use a shower which detaches, and I can shower up, get myself ready, that kind of thing. I'm fortunate, again, maybe this is due to my upbringing. I've always been expected to just kind of get on with things. So in terms of like dressing myself, I do all of that. In terms of sort of getting around, initially it was actually a little bit tough. I don't know how it is in the US, Jose, but in London, not all types of public transport are accessible for wheelchair users. So you have, we call them tube stations. I think you call them subway stations there, which have, for example, stairs. It's just a stairs access, right? Which is no good for somebody in a wheelchair. So those type of practical things are things that I have to figure out day to day. And often the solution would be just finding another way to go to get to where I need to get to. Which is often a longer way. So, you know, for people who complain about their morning commute, there are people in a wheelchair who are having to do twice that commute because the route that they need to use is not accessible.
That's right.
So there's stuff like that. And actually, that was one of the things that inspired me to learn how to drive a car, because I was like, you know, I'm tired of like, you know, doing twice the distance to get to the same place. At least with a car, I can just get in my car and drive there. Now traffic in London is a different story, but at least I'm in my own vehicle and I can listen to my own music and that kind of thing. And then I guess what else would be, so I guess for me the biggest challenges would be around logistical sort of accessing buildings, using bathroom facilities, and that sort of hard stuff. In terms of relationships and that kind of thing, like I said, I haven't got any kids yet, but that is definitely on the agenda. And I don't foresee any challenges with that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you have a girlfriend, or are you single, or?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend. Actually, we're planning to get married later this year. So by God's grace, that will happen. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, well, sorry for any ladies that are listening and may have thought that you had a chance, but the guy's taken, so.
I'm sorry, but we can still be friends.
But that's cool, man. That's cool. That's one of the things I love, man. I love seeing, you know, and I'm pretty sure you kind of feel the same way. And I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but I can assume that you probably feel the same way. But how old are you, by the way?
I'm 34. I just turned 34. I was about to say 33.
34 years old. So you're pretty young. I'm pretty young too. I just turned 43, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's the opposite of you. You turned 34, I turned 43. But, you know, I love seeing young people, you know, such as yourself, mm-hmm. and even younger, mm-hmm. I see, that mm-hmm. are struggling with the situation or mm-hmm. a condition physically, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and even mentally, you know, any type of thing. But for me, it's more so like, because, you know, at least for you, you have the ability and the strength to transfer yourself from your chair to your bed, your chair to your shower, your chair. Mm-hmm. You have a special bathroom toilet seat that you can transfer mm-hmm. onto also?
Actually, I just tend to work it up because I guess the height of my chair allows me to transfer pretty easily on a standard toilet. I'd say probably the biggest challenges for me, other than accessing buildings, is probably the kitchen. So because in the kitchen you've got like kitchen cupboards that are like designed for giants and stuff, and like just generally like it's very hard to create a kitchen that's accessible. So that's probably my biggest challenge. But however, I'm sure I could figure it out. It's just that I'm actually not a fan of cooking. Actually, it doesn't excite me at all. So I'm happy to outsource that to somebody else. But I feel like if I had to do it, then I'll probably find a way.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so what I was going to say was that, you know, I love seeing people such as yourself that are young, and what other people may look like as, you know, someone who needs all the help in the world, that's not capable, that's probably living off of government assistance and not able to work, or just as, you know, not smart, not educated, not intelligent, you know, all those stereotypes that come along with this type of lifestyle. But I love to see that you're doing amazing things. You're going out there. You've recognized and realized what your purpose and your potential is.
Yeah.
And being smart, you graduated the university, you got a great job being a programmer, that could have definitely produced you a wonderful career, but you felt something inside that was calling you for more and towards mm-hmm. more, and you went mm-hmm. after it. What was the deciding factor mm-hmm. that pushed you to leave the 9-to-5 and to start chasing your dreams, which is impacting people?
Yeah. I think it definitely started off, you know, with that period that I had, you know, that perfect storm that I had, you know, with my mom having an illness. And then, you know, I was in another relationship at the time that was, you know, pretty rough. And then some business stuff that I was working on as a side business that fell over as well. So it was literally everything all at once. And I think it's probably a situation that many people go through, you know, that perfect storm. Your perfect storm might look different to mine, but we all have them, I think. And so what that gave me was an opportunity to, well, first of all, like, I was devastated because I had all of these, it felt like my whole world was crashing down. Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, but I think what that allowed me to do was actually, because I feel like when you feel like you've lost or you're about to lose everything that you care about, right? For most people, certainly for me, it made me rethink about what I've been prioritizing in my life. So for me, I'm a Christian as well. So one of the things that I wanted to reprioritize was my relationship with God, even.
Amen.
And get back to walking with God in everything that I do. And I guess, you know, I don't want to call it a voice. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe God was telling me
that's right.
that I needed to listen to him and to actually look at my situation, because I guess, you know, I had a lot of success with the career and with the degree and stuff, but I'd always thought I hadn't really dealt with my disability. I guess my disability was just something that was there on the side that I managed to succeed despite of, right? And so what I heard God telling me was, actually, I want that to be one of the things that you use, because I gave that to you as a gift, right? It's a blessing. It's not a burden. That's how I want you to see it. yeah, it's part of my story, you know, don't ignore it. And so, you know, at the time I was playing around with public speaking, but just as a hobby. And I remember initially when I'd go to give my talks, I'd never even address anything to do with my disability. I'd go there and I'd talk about anything under the sun except my disability, mm-hmm. right? And so what I had God telling me again was, you know, just use your story, you know, use your whole story, right? Use your whole story. And so as soon as I started to share more on that, I actually realized that, you know, it was helping other people because A, you had a bunch of, I had an audience there who were so curious to know, you know, to know more about me, but I hadn't really been giving them the opportunity to understand, right? Because I wasn't talking about it before. And then B, you know, for me being so open with my situation, it then allowed other people to be open with their situation because I say, you know, my wheelchair is physical, you can see it, but we all have wheelchairs. And a lot of them are, yeah, they're mental wheelchairs, right? Which is just another way of saying limiting beliefs. So once I was able to open up and share with my audiences, it then gave them permission to expose their limiting beliefs, but more importantly, to use the transferable lessons, because I think the lessons are all the same, whether it's a physical, financial, relationship, anything to do with a limiting belief, the lessons and the growth mindset is all the same. So, you know, to be able to impact one or two people just by doing that, for me, felt a lot more powerful and a lot more aligned with what I believe God was saying to me.
I love that, man. I love that. That's a powerful story, man. And, you know, also as a man of faith and a man of God, you know, I believe that keeping God in the center and keeping God in the forefront is definitely a critical, critical decision that we need to make in order for us to reach any level of success in life.
I agree.
Because like I said in the beginning of the show, without him, none of this would be possible. So I commend you on that, man. Great job on that. Man, I'm just excited for you, man. I'm excited to see what God has in store for you, man, and what you're doing. So let's just pivot a little bit now. So we know about, you know, kind of what you grew up with, what you have to go through. You know, we kind of transitioned into you going from the 9 to 5 to the public speaking.
Yep.
What are some of the things that you speak about, and what would you say is like your area of expertise, and what do you enjoy speaking about the most? And let's go ahead and just answer that one first, and then we'll continue.
Yeah, cool. So in terms of speaking, I guess my speaking has evolved a little bit. So when I was in that public speaking group initially, like I said, I'd speak about various things, technology, everything, I guess, more in terms of my expertise and my career experience, which was technology at the time. And then I started talking more and more about my own story, like I said, and being open and vulnerable with that. And actually, that's what led me to someone in my group at the time said, wow, you've got a powerful story and we've never heard it before. Have you ever thought about doing a TED talk? And I was like, nope, no thanks, too early for that. I've only been speaking for a few months, so I want to build up some more experience. But this person kept pushing me, saying, no, you should do it, you should do it, you should do it. So I applied for it. And if I'm totally honest, Jose, I was hoping not to be invited. but you know, when that happens, those are the days when you get invited. So I got invited and I gave this talk, which is available on YouTube, and I can share the links later. But the talk was titled Your Limitations Are an Illusion, which basically used elements of my story, but more importantly, to share the big lessons and the tools that helped me step beyond my perceived limitations. So that's an interesting area for me, about resilience and limitations. And then I guess maybe the secondary area would be around inclusion and diversity, right? Because I've worked for many corporations, like I said, big companies, small companies. And for me, I've always felt the need to go back and champion the rights of those who are less able or underrepresented in those types of organizations, because it's important that they too feel included. They too are thought about when organizations are putting together their strategies and their processes. So I guess those would be the two main areas for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. You know, because a lot of times I've worked in corporate America as well for 20 years. And, you know, sometimes they'll throw a company event and it's at a location where it may not be so accessible or it's difficult to get to or something like that. So, yeah, definitely, man. That's one of the things I love talking. I didn't really love talking about that previously, but it's something that I've been getting into fairly recently within the last 6 months to 8 months that I've been wanting to speak about more. Yeah. And I totally get what you're saying about, you know, when you started speaking, you would speak about everything else under the sun except your disability. And I was the same way, man. When I started speaking, I was like talking about everything and anything, you know, except for my disability, because I don't know, I don't think I was real comfortable talking about it yet like that out in the open. As I continue my speaking career and just learning different things, I've noticed that people would want to hear more about me and my story than the topic that I was talking about. Because, I would start noticing, because usually when I do a talk, I would leave a few minutes at the end for Q&A. And I started noticing none of the questions were about what I was talking about. They were always about like, well, how do you do this? And how do you do that? And what was your mindset with this? And what was your mindset? So it's just amazing how people... And I think that that's one of the things that allow people like you and I to become an attraction to other people, because we're so authentic, we're so transparent. You know, we have the light of Christ inside of us as well that shines bright. And people want to know more about why we're so happy, why we're so positive, why we're so content. Yeah. Why we're so joyful, and they want that same joy. They want that same happiness. So they want to get to know us and know about what we're doing and how our mindsets are to be able to carry all of that with us in such a positive way. So again, man, I just commend you for, and I take my hat off to you for just being that strong individual, you know, when people were probably counting you out and disqualifying you and saying, you know, this guy's not going to be anything or great, maybe not even saying it, but thinking it, the fact that you're doing what you're doing now, you're not only, you know, showing them, but you're showing other people as well that, you know, our circumstances don't have to dictate our future. Right? We don't have to dictate I'm always saying this thing. My wheelchair, I made a decision. Once I made the decision that I said this wheelchair wasn't going to defeat me, this wheelchair wasn't going to define me, and this wheelchair wasn't going to dictate my destiny, my life changed forever.
I'm always telling
people that wherever I say wheelchair, you put whatever your struggle is, whatever your challenge is, whatever your adversity is, and make sure that you don't let it defeat you, define you, or dictate your destiny.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say in terms of, I think a big maybe takeaway here for anyone listening to this is actually appreciating and owning the power of your story. Because to each person, their story is the most boring thing in the world. Like, my story, you might hear it and think, oh my God, he's small, he's broken all these bones, but yet he's achieved A, B, and C. Like, to me, that is so boring. Like, I would rather go to sleep and listen to that again. And I feel like we all have the same relationship with our stories because we lived it. So to us, you know, it's like that movie which you've watched 1,000 times. Like, it doesn't excite you like it did the first time, right? The gift, again, is, you know, when you share that story, when you share those lessons, you don't know who you might be impacting or who you might be helping move from, you know, A to B. So definitely own that story, even if it's a little bit tired or it feels like a broken record to you. Just keep sharing those lessons, because we all learn from each other.
That's right. There you have it, folks. You heard it from Winston himself. Own your story, baby. Own your story. belongs to you. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, and in the Christian arena, we call that a testimony, right? So, you know, don't be afraid to share your story with people. And I'm always saying that, like, don't be afraid to share your story with people. That's one of the things that brings us all together, I believe. Like, even from the days of old, people always gathered around a campfire or something to hear one of the older folks tell a story and tell a good, and they were always, all the kids and young adults would be like so intrigued about a great story, right? It's almost like watching a great movie. You watch the movie and then, you know, you're like at the end and you're like, oh man, that is going, right? But I don't think that that happens with our stories, you know. We have such powerful stories and we don't use them as powerfully and effectively as we could be using them. So, you know, take it from Winston, man. You know, he's been through a whole lot. You know, like I said, I'm in a wheelchair. I've only broken, about seven bones. But that's okay. Because when I was able to walk and my body would give out on me, I would just fall like a sack of potatoes. So I broke my toes one time. I broke my nose one time. I broke my arm one time. So, but 150 bones? Were any of those bones like you broke them a couple times, the same bone?
Yeah. Yeah. It was generally my limbs, to be honest. So my limbs took a beating. Yeah, because as you can imagine, you know, you fall over, you probably land on your arm or your shoulder, or your leg lands in an awkward position. So yeah, it was definitely, although there were like some strange ones, like, so even things like sneezing for me were like difficult. So when I was younger, I could do like a really, you know how you do like a really big sneeze? You literally go, ah. And so for me, that could lead to like 3 cracked ribs.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. So it wasn't even, you know, I didn't even have to be doing anything super physical. It could just happen in like an everyday situation like that.
Wow. Now you see, you put something like that into perspective for even somebody like me who doesn't have that situation. But, you know, just, man, I feel bad for somebody who has that and has allergies, because that's crazy.
That would be cruel. God wouldn't do that.
Right? Yeah, that's crazy. But, I mean, you know, that's just something as simple as that, like as a sneeze. You know, you can sneeze and end up with 3 cracked ribs, and it's like, what the heck is going on, you know?
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I like bringing people like you on the show and other people, you know, because like I like to share different things with my audience just to give them that new perspective. So just something as simple as sneezing that, you know, we not that we take that for granted because we sneeze automatically, but something like that, as simple as that, can cause such a reaction in your body is devastating, because that can put you out of commission for a couple of days or weeks even. You know, it can affect your breathing. It can affect your moving. So that's something serious. So listen, guys, I just wanted to, you know, bring Winston on so he can share a new perspective for you guys, share some of his wisdom, share some of his nuggets and expertise with you guys. And I'm pretty sure that you guys got a couple of nuggets out of that, because I know I did it. I know some of you guys out there did as well. And like Winston said, even if just one of you guys, you know, it opened your eyes to a new way of thinking and a new way of thought processes, you know, that's going to help you to advance in whatever your life looks like and or your career or your day-to-day living, then it's all worth it, man. You know, putting these podcasts together, you know, it takes work, you know, but I enjoy it because I love hearing powerful stories such as Winston's and everyone else that I bring on, because we have powerful stories, and I'm a firm believer that there's power in the stories. Because like you said, you never know who's going to be listening and who's going to be impacted, right? I'm pretty sure you've thought about this, you know, all the lives that you've impacted, people that never had the opportunity or maybe were afraid to share with you that you've impacted their lives, but you did anyhow just from showing up, and they walked away thinking like, man, that guy's amazing. Right. Look at what he has to go through. I'm over here complaining about my little backache or my knee hurts. You know what I mean? And he's over here breaking ribs just from sneezing. You know what I'm saying? It's like that type of mindset. So listen, Winston, I just want to thank you for coming on to the show. And I want to thank my audience for listening and tuning in every single week. But share with my audience where they can find more about you, where they can, if you have like any YouTube or website where they can watch some of your videos, or that TED talk that you gave, Limitations is Just an Illusion. And just maybe reach out to you to connect with you. Maybe if you do coaching or anything like that, or, you know, you want to just help people process some things, where can they find more about you, man?
Yeah, probably the number one place to go to would be my website, which is just my name. So winstonclements.com, and everything is on the website. So you've got links to my YouTube, all my social media handles. I'd love to, for anyone watching who's, you know, this has resonated with, and because I really enjoyed this conversation with Jose, if there's anything that stands out for you, then just slide into my Facebook or slide into my Instagram and let me know what your biggest takeaway was.
Yeah, absolutely. So WinstonClemens.com. Don't worry about it, guys. I'm definitely going to go ahead and put that in the links as well. So there you have it, guys. Winston Clemens, all the way from the UK, you know, came to hang out with us today. So I definitely appreciate it. That's right. And for all you guys listening, thanks again for hanging out with me every single week. And until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.